Hello friends, now we are on chapter 13, export credit in foreign currency. You will note in our previous chapter, we have done export credit in rupees. In this chapter, we are going to understand export credit in foreign currency. The basic objectives of this chapter would be understand different types of export credit in foreign currency. So we are going to see more and more information about export credit in foreign currency. The concepts of pre-shipment and post-shipment finance, as we had discussed in our previous chapter, are going to same. However, when it comes to currency, we will be talking more on foreign currency. So here the pre-shipment credit would be any loan or advance granted by the bank to the exporter for two specific things. Number one is financing, purchase, processing, manufacturing or packaging of goods, and this is all prior to shipment. Or it can also be a working capital expense for rendering of services on the basis of a letter of credit or a confirmed unequivocal order of export of goods, services from India placed on exporter. So basically what we are talking about, pre-shipment finance is for two main purposes. Number one is for financing all that thing that is required prior to shipment, or it can be for working capital expenses. So these are the main points you have to remember, especially with pre-shipment export credit in foreign currency. Now, why pre-shipment credit in foreign currency? What is the requirement? Can it not be made in rupees only? So this is what, again, we have to understand why there should be a pre-shipment credit in foreign currency. This is basically to make credit available to exporters at international competitive rates. When we talk about international competitive rates, if the exporter or for whatever the transaction a foreign currency is to be paid or received, then there comes the issue of from where to get it. And if you have to get it at a rate which is within your budget, then it would be good for you to carry that transaction. And that is the reason, number one, to make credit available to exporters at international competitive rates. And secondly, most importantly, authorized dealers have been permitted to extend PCFC to exporters. So by this is the reason, like, you can't get foreign currency from anywhere else except authorized dealers who are permitted to deal with foreign currency. And here authorized dealers have been permitted to extend the PCFC to exporters for domestic as well as imported inputs of exports at international competitive rates. And this can be rates like LIBOR, it can be Euro, it can be LIBOR, it can be Euribor, related rates of interest, which we call it as international competitive rates. Now let's see some details about pre-shipment credit in foreign currency. Additional window for providing pre-shipment credit in Indian exporters at international competitive rates interest schemes is applicable only for cash exports. So this has to be noted very carefully, and banks are permitted to extend PCFC for exports in the ACU countries. What are the options available to the exporters? There are various options available to exporters. Number one, I will pre-shipment credit in rupees, and then post-shipment credit either in rupees or discounting or rediscounting of export bills under the EBR scheme. The second option available is I will pre-shipment credit in foreign currency and discount it or rediscount of export bills under the EBR scheme. The third option is available, I will the pre-shipment credit in rupees and then convert drawers into PCFC at the discretion of the bank. So these are the three main options available to the exporters for availing of pre-shipment credit. Well, now let us see what is the choice of currency, in which currency can this credit be availed. We have different choices of currency. The PCFC facility can be extended in one of the convertible currency, that is your US dollars, your pound sterling, your Japanese yen, your euro, etc., etc. Banks can extend PCFC in one convertible currency in respect of an export order invoiced in another convertible currency, and risk and the cost of cross-currency transaction will be that of the exporter. So the exporter has to manage the risk as far as the cost of cross-currency is concerned. From where will the bank get fund? So what are the sources of funds for financing by the bank to the exporter? Banks also have various sources of funds. A foreign currency balance is available with the bank in the exchange or a foreign currency account. It can also get it from the resident foreign currency account as well as from the foreign currency non-resident accounts. So these are the three main accounts through which bank can finance the foreign currency to the exporters. Next available source is your escrow accounts and exporters foreign currency account. So this also acts as a source for providing foreign currency to the bank, to the exporters. And the third one is banks can also have borrowings from abroad. A foreign currency fund generated through buy-sell swaps in the domestic forex market is also available as a source of funds for the banks to provide foreign currency to the exporters. What about the spread? How much cushion can the bank build while actually lending foreign currency to its borrowers? Banks are free to determine the interest rates on export credit in foreign currency. So there is a freedom for the banks to determine the interest rates, and LIBOR, EURIBOR, EURIBOR rates are normally available for a standard period of 1, 2, 3, 6 and 12 months. Banks may quote the rates on the basis of standard period if PCFC is required for periods that are less than 6 months. What is the period of credit? The PCFC will be available for a maximum period of 360 days. Any extension of the credit will be subject to the same terms and conditions as applicable for extension of the rupee packing credit. Export credit in foreign currency to protect exporters from rupee. Banks may denominate the foreign currency component of the export credit in foreign currency only with a view to ensuring that the exporters are insulated from the rupee fluctuations. How is this disbursement happening? Disbursement of PCFC, in case full amount of PCFC or part thereof is utilized to finance the domestic imports, banks may apply appropriate spot rate for the transaction. So the spot rate would be applicable in case full amount of PCFC or part thereof is utilized to finance the domestic input. After your disbursement, there has to be liquidation of PCFC. How does the liquidation of PCFC happen? It can happen out of the proceeds of export documents on the submission for discounting, rediscounting under the EBR scheme, or even by grant of foreign currency loans, or out of the balances in the ECFC account, or from the rupee resources of the exporters to the extent exports have actually taken place. Liquidation can also happen some other ways. Like if packing credit in excess of FOP value, then PCFC will be available only for the exportable portion of the products. In case of substitution of an order, repayment or liquidation of PCFC could be with the export documents relating to any other order covering the same or any other commodity exported by the exporter or the amount of balance in the EFC account. So this has to be noted, especially with relation to liquidation of PCFC. Can there be a cancellation or non-execution of an export order? There can be scenarios, and in case of cancellation of an export order, or if the exporter is unable to execute the export order, it will be in order for the exporter to repay the loan together with accrued interest thereon by purchasing the foreign exchange from the domestic market through the bank. PCFC, when we talk about running account facilities for all commodities, banks are permitted to extend the running account facilities under the PCFC scheme. This we have seen especially when we were talking about the rupee loans, export credit loans. So banks are permitted to extend running account facility under the PCFC scheme to the exporters for all commodities on the lines of the facilities available under the rupee credit, which we have discussed in our previous chapter. In such cases, the PCFC will be marked off on the first in, first out basis. Now let us look about forward contracts. Banks are permitted to allow an exporter to book a forward contract on the basis of confirmed export order prior to availing PCFC and cancel the contract at prevailing market rates on availing of PCFC. Banks are also permitted to allow the customers to seek cover in any permitted currency of their choice. However, banks should ensure compliance of the basic foreign exchange management requirement, which is very, very important, especially when we have transactions related to forward contracts. Can there be a sharing of EPC and PCFC? The rupee export credit is allowed to be shared between an export order holder as well and the manufacturer of the goods to be exported. So here the sharing is possible. What happens about regarding suppliers from one EOU EPZ SEZ unit to another EOU EPZ SEZ? So these provisions also need to be known. The PCFC for the supplier, EOU, EPZ, SEZ unit will be for supply for raw materials, and the PCFC extended to the supplier, EOU, EPZ, SEZ unit will have to be liquidated by a receipt of foreign exchange from the receiver, EOU, EPZ, SEZ unit. Bank should ensure that there is no double financing for the same transaction. We have seen about deemed exports in a previous chapter. Here also we need to deal with deemed exports, especially when we talk about foreign currency. PCFC will be allowed for deemed exports only for supplies to the projects financed by multilateral bilateral agencies. And PCFC release for deemed exports should be liquidated by grant of foreign currency loan at post-supply stage for a maximum period of 30 days or up to the date of payment by the project authorities, whichever is earlier. There are some other aspects also relating with this export credit in foreign currency. The applicable benefits to the exporters will accrue only after the realization of the export bills. The surplus of export proceeds available after adjusting the relative export finance and credit to EFC account should not be allowed for setting off import bills. ECGC cover will be available in rupees only, whereas PCFC is in foreign currency. So this has to be noted very carefully regarding ECGC cover as well as the PCFC. ECGC cover will be available in rupees only, whereas PCFC will be available in foreign currency. We also have something called a diamond dollar account scheme. Under this scheme of Government of India, firms and companies who are dealing in purchase or sale of rough or cut and polished diamonds or precious metals, jewelry, plain minakari, and or studded with without diamond and or other stones, is this scheme is specifically applicable to them. However, for getting benefit of this scheme, the person should be with a track record of at least 2 years in import export of diamonds or colored gemstones, etc., and having an average turnover of rupees 3 crores or above during the preceding 3 licensing years. And only then they are permitted to transact the business through the diamond dollar accounts. So diamond dollar accounts provide certain benefits, but these benefits are available only if you have this particular condition satisfied. And this is a scheme of Government of India. Next, we have the post-shipment export credit in foreign currency. Up till now, we were talking about pre-shipment credit in foreign currency. Now, like we discussed the post-shipment credit in rupees, we will be discussing the same thing on in the lines for a foreign currency. Post-shipment credit means any loan or advance granted or any credit provided by an institution to an exporter of goods service from India. Please note, post-shipment starts from the date of extending credit of the shipment of goods and rendering of services to the date of realization of export proceeds, as we had discussed in our previous chapter. Post-shipment always starts with from the date of extending credit after shipment of goods, and it is up to the date of realization of the export proceeds. Next, we have rediscounting of export bills abroad scheme, that is EBR scheme, wherein bank may utilize the foreign exchange resource available with EFC, RFC, foreign currency non-resident account scheme to discount Usan's bill and retain them in their portfolio without resorting to the rediscounting. Banks are also allowed to rediscount export bills abroad at rates linked to international interest rates at the post-shipment stage. What is this scheme about? Banks may arrange a banker's acceptance facility for rediscounting the export bills without any margin and duly covered by the collateralized documents. In this scheme, banks can have its own BAF limit with an overseas bank, and the exporter on their own can arrange line of credit with an overseas bank. What are the eligibility criteria for this scheme? The scheme will cover mainly the export bills with usance period up to 180 days from the date of shipment, and the facility under the scheme of rediscounting may be offered in any convertible currency. Banks are permitted to extend the EBR facility for exports to the SEU countries. What are the source of onshore funds? Banks may avail the lines of credit from other banks in India if they are not in a position to raise loans from abroad. Banks are also permitted to use the foreign currency funds borrowed and also the foreign currency funds generated through buy-sell swaps in the domestic forex market. There is a facility of rediscounting with recourse and without recourse. This type of facility we have seen in our bills financing chapter. The bills may be rediscounted with recourse. However, if an authorized dealer is in a position to arrange without a recourse facility on competitive terms, it is permitted to avail itself of such a facility. So this will depend upon the expertise of the bank to get such terms for its exporter. Let us see some details about the accounting aspects. The rupee equivalent of the discounted value of the export bills will be payable to the exporter, and the same should be utilized to liquidate the outstanding export packing credit. As the discounting of bills will be in foreign exchange, banks may apply appropriate spot rate. The rupee equivalent of the discounted account foreign exchange loan may be held in the bank's book distinct from the existing post-shipment credit accounts. What about restoration of limits? Can restoration of export limits be possible? The restoration of export limits and the availability of export benefits in case of recourse will be affected only on realization of export proceeds and not on the date of discounting or rediscounting of the bill. So this has to be noted from which date it would be affected. In case of without recourse facility, the restoration of export limits and the availability of export benefits may be given effect immediately on rediscounting. So there is a possibility of effect given immediately on rediscounting only in case of without recourse facility. Now let us understand something about the ECGC cover. In case of export bills rediscounted with recourse facility, there will not be any change in the existing coverage provided by ECGC. And in case of the export bills rediscounting without recourse facility, the liability of the ECGC ceases as soon as the relative bills are rediscounted. Export credit performance. Is it necessary to look into it? Only bills rediscounted abroad with recourse bills and outstanding will be taken into account for the purpose of export credit performance, and the bills rediscounted abroad without recourse bill will not count for the export credit performance. So we have to understand which bills will be taken into account for export credit performance and which won't be taken into account for export credit performance. Now friends, in this final part of this chapter, we are going to understand a very, very important scheme for exporters and the salient features of this scheme. I am talking about the gold card scheme for exporters. This is a very attractive scheme, but this scheme is not available for everyone. It is available only for those who are having a good track record. And let's see some more details about this scheme. The gold card scheme has been worked out by Reserve Bank of India for creditworthy exporters with good track record. And what do they get for the good track record? They get easy availability of export credit on best terms. So this is a great incentive for the exporters, those who are having a good track record. What are the salient features of this scheme? The salient features are all creditworthy exporters with good record would be eligible for issue of gold card by individual banks. Secondly, the scheme will not be applicable to exporters blacklisted by ECGC. So those blacklisted exporters by ECGC won't get the gold card scheme. The gold card holder exporter will be granted better terms of conditions, and this better terms of condition includes your rates of interest. Application for credit will be processed at norms simpler and under a process faster than for other exporters. The charges, schedule and the fee structure in respect of services provided by the bank to the exporters under the scheme will be relatively lower than those provided to other exporters. In principle, limits will be sanctioned for a period of 3 years with a provision of automatic renewal. Next important feature is a standby limit of not less than 20% of the access limit may be additionally made to facilitate urgent credit needs for executing the sudden orders. So many benefits are provided for gold card holders. That's not all. We have some more features of this scheme. In case of unanticipated export orders, norms for inventory may be relaxed. Requests from cardholders will be processed quickly by the banks within 25 days, 15 days and 7 days for fresh applications, renewal of limits and ad hoc limits. So this is a very, very good time-bound schedule for processing renewal and fresh applications as well as ad hoc limits applications. PCFC requirements of gold card holder should be given priority over non-export borrowers with regard to granting loans out of their PC, NRB and RFC, etc. FCNR is a foreign currency account and RFC is also a resident foreign currency account. These are PCFC required for gold card holders should be given priority over non-export borrowers with regard to granting loans out of the FCNR and the RFC accounts, etc. Now, what about the interest on the export credit in foreign currency? Banks are free to determine the interest rates on export credit in foreign currency to exporters and international competitive rates under the pre-shipment credit in foreign currency and rediscounting export bills abroad schemes. So here again, there is a freedom given to the banks. What is the compensation for delayed credit of export bills to exporters? There has to be some justice done to exporters for the delay in credit. The compensation stipulated by FIDAI should be paid to the exporter client without waiting for a demand from the exporter. So it has to be upfrontly credited without waiting. Clear instructions have been given for banks to compensate the exporters for any delay in credit, and this compensation is based on the guidelines given by FIDAI. What about the sanction of export credit proposals? The time limit for sanction fresh announce should be made within 45 days. So that is the timeline for this also, and this timeline is from the date of receipt of application. There is a simplification of procedure for delivery of export credits in foreign currency. A bank should adopt any of the methods, that is projected balance sheet method, turnover method or cash budget method for assessment of working capital requirements of exporters or customers. In case of established exporters having satisfactory track record, bank should consider sanctioning a line of credit for a longer period. In case of export of seasonal commodities, bank should consider peak or non-peak credit facilities to the exporters. A bank should not insist on submission of export orders or LCs for every disbursement of pre-shipment credit from exporters with consistently good record, and submission of export documents need not be insisted except in the case of transactions with the letter of credit. A quick initial scrutiny of credit application should be facilitated at specialized branches having sizable export business. There are some more ways in which simplification has been done. Like banks may arrange to publicize widely the facility of prescribed interest rates being available for deemed exporters and ensure their operating staff are adequately sensitized. And banks should bring out a handbook containing salient features of simplified procedures for sanction of export credit in foreign currency and international competitive rates as well as in rupees for the benefit of exporter clients. So it is not enough that simply procedures have been simplified, but it is essential that this has to be brought to the notice of the exporter client by bringing out such user-friendly handbook so that the exporter clients can make use of it. Next important is monitoring implementation of the guidelines. Banks should ensure that exporters' credit requirements are met in full and promptly at the competitive rates. Banks should set up an internal team to visit branches periodically to gauge the extent of implementation of the guidelines. Banks should note to adhere to the directions issued under the Foreign Exchange Management Act 1999. There are also guidelines for pre-shipment credit to diamond exporters, especially when we talk about the conflict diamonds. We have to understand certain precise guidelines about conflict diamonds. First things you have to notice, trading in conflict diamonds has been banned by the UN resolutions 1173 and 1176. India, especially among other countries, has adopted a UN mandate, new Kimberley process certification scheme to ensure that no rough diamonds mined and illegally traded enter the country. And hence India has adopted these guidelines for both import as well as exports. Import of diamonds into India should be accompanied by the Kimberley process certificate, popularly known as the KPC. Similarly, exports from India should also be accompanied by the Kimberley process certificate, that is KPC. KPCs will be verified and validated by the Gem and Jewelry Export Promotion Council. So this responsibility has been given to the Gem and Jewelry Export Promotion Council for verifying and validating the KPCs. Thank you.